Hello and welcome back to the Let's Talk Racing podcast in association with Racing TV. Thank you all very much for your kind messages after the first episode last week. Andrew and I, we were chuffed to bits. Is that fair to say, Andrew?
Yeah, it was fantastic to get such positive responses to everyone, and thanks to everyone that's listened and backed this new venture. Obviously, great opportunity for us to be involved with Racing TV and hopefully the start of something really refreshing this year going forward into the jump season.
On today's podcast, we're going to be speaking to Matty about Nicky's Yard going into the season and how the youngsters are coping. We'll also be looking at Cheltenham's October meeting, the entries and early fancies that we might have. Some exciting youngsters entered at Aintree and over in Ireland during this weekend. We're going to highlight those. We're also going to touch on Galloping Deschamps and Fernie Hollow going chasing. And then right at the end, to make sure you listen to the full podcast, we are going to give you one that we've got our eye on for a festival handicap. We can't wait to get stuck into the jump season. And it's that time of year where you get the different stable tour videos. And it's very, very exciting. You hear from the top trainers about what their leading fancies are, the veteran chases and the superstars in the stable. But I wanted to do something slightly different and get the opinion of Matty Gill, who is a work rider at Nicky Henderson, who works in the industry, rides some very exciting novices this year that we are going to talk about. Matty, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks, Andrew. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely no problem at all. Just for context, Matty, how long have you been working at Nicky's?
I've been here for a full season now, and I can't say a bad word about the place. I've loved every second of it.
What was your background before?
So I was up at Jackdaw's Castle working for Jonjo O'Neill for nearly three seasons there. I enjoyed my time there. That was my first job in racing.
So you've been telling me that you've ridden some exciting novices this season and you look after them at home, a few of them being Iron Maximus, who we'll get onto later, another one, Queen's River, who was a £330,000 purchase, for those who don't know, came from the point-to-point field owned by JP McManus and is one of the most expensive mares ever to come off the point-to-point field. Having her at the yard, what's it like with such an expensive one? What's it like looking after them?
I mean, for me, I can't thank Nicky enough for giving me the opportunity to look after and ride such an exciting mare. Obviously, the way she won her point-to-point, as cosy as you like, and she's done really well, and everything she's done at home, it's been pleasing us, to be honest. When she came to us, she was fully wound up for that point-to-point win. She took her time settling in. She was just a big baby. She still kind of is. We chose not to run her last season, and she went back to Ireland. She had a great summer, and she's come back looking bigger and stronger, and she's working well. I hear the reports are she jumps very, very well at home.
Great to hear. Another horse that you ride is I Am Maximus, one that I'm particularly excited about. And you get the vibes from Nicky, I've been seeing him in a few interviews, that he's finding it difficult to split the likes of Firestep, I Am Maximus and John Bond. John Bond, obviously, Andrew, I'm sure you want to hear a bit about him.
Obviously, carrying on those fateful Duvan genes at this stage, I suppose, and I think with all those Nicky Henderson horses, I think all of us are on tender hooks waiting to see which one comes out at Newbury and can strut their stuff the first, because both of them, or all of them, have looked very impressive in their bumpers. And I suppose at this time of the year, we've had so much talk about the Willie Mullins novices, the Henry de Bromhead novices, and I suppose to a certain extent, these couple from Nicky Henderson have slipped a little bit under the radar. And when you have a look, obviously, at the Altiors and Sprinter Sacras and Shishkins, obviously, that have come through the yard, you'd have to think there might be another one on the conveyor belt here between those three.
I want to get your opinion, actually, Matty, on I Am Maximus. I know that he holds a fond place in your heart. I've seen pictures of you during the stable tour leading him up. He's your boy. How's he been and what's he like to ride every day?
I'm very lucky to have sat on him and to see his progress, to be honest. It was hard. When I first came just over a year ago, he was probably one of the first I sat on. And he was unraced, and they didn't really know what they had. But the reports were that he works well at home. Just before this meeting this time last year, he was ready to run, and I did a breeze on him and he took my breath away. And you never know, first time out, you never know what's going to happen. I went home that afternoon, I watched the bumper, and at first I just thought he's green, he's going to struggle to get home. The more the race went on, the more he learned what was going on, the more he picked up the bridle. When Nico got stuck into him on that ground, he relished it and he powered clear up the hill, and the form couldn't have worked out much better.
So for those wondering, My Drogo was in second, and Iron Maximus remains the only horse to have beaten My Drogo. Obviously, he went on to grade one success over novice hurdles at Aintree. I have to ask, Iron Maximus wasn't seen since that run in October at Cheltenham.
There was no real issue. There was always a plan. As you know, Nicky likes to look after his youngsters, and he always does so well with them. He gave him a break, and he came back in January time, December time, and we were looking to get a run into him. He just had a few niggly problems. The yard, obviously, as everybody knows, last year we struggled with a bit of sickness, and he unfortunately he got a little sick. So we decided to just back off him in the end, put him away and let him grow into his big frame.
Very excited novice hurdler going forward. Have you schooled him? Have you heard much about him schooling?
No, I've never schooled him, but he'd done a lot up at Henrietta Knight's, big connection with the yard and for the owner, Mike Gretsch. I heard his jumping is electric, so fingers crossed.
There was news earlier today, I think, that John Bond wasn't too far away from making his hurdling debut, so it'll be very interesting how those two are split apart, because obviously with Nicky they've gone down usually a tried and tested route with those novice hurdlers, and it'd be interesting to see which ones go down which way, because I doubt the two of them will be taking each other on anytime soon.
A huge thanks for Matty coming on there and speaking about the exciting youngsters up at Seven Barrows. And now me and Andrew are going to preview the Cheltenham October meeting and have a look at the entries and early fancies. Andrew, have you got a few early fancies?
Ah, of course I do, Josh. You know, it wouldn't be a Cheltenham meeting without me strangling through the majority of these races, even at the five-day deck stage, I remember. I'm waiting for you now. You've become the hotbed for entry news on Twitter as well. So I'm just, whenever I'm looking for entries, I just refresh. I finally get them.
Well, you are in for a treat this week. Don't you worry. I'll be doing not only entries, but I might do a declaration news as well.
Ah, stop.
Honestly, you're in for a right treat. But Cheltenham October meeting, look, not many Cheltenham Festival winners come out of this meeting, but we do get plenty of informative form lines, and it's a good meeting to start the season with, especially as it's around the holy grail of jumps racing. ABW on the Friday, is there a few horses that you fancy at Cheltenham?
Yeah, there is. I'd say first port of call should well be the 305 for myself in terms of fancies, because I'm absolutely obsessed with a horse for the Albert Bartlett now at a big price. And
I saw this 50-1 for the Albert Bartlett. You put it up in a blog post. You liked it that much. Now, please take the floor.
I do just preface this by saying that the last time I was this keen on a horse at 50-1 for the Albert Bartlett, it was last year's Kim Bailey's Bob Hope or No Hope, who unfortunately hasn't completed a race since I've put the horse up. So that's something to just bear in mind. But looking at the Cheltenham race, I just think John McConnell has become very shrewd with the horses he brings over to Cheltenham. And you have a look at the October meeting this year, and he's bringing over, I think he's got 15 entries in the 5-day decks between Friday and Saturday, which is a lot of horses and a lot of good horses as well. And he's got Bardenstown Lad here, probably is his best novice hurdler. He won a 2-mile-3 bumper around Tipperary before coming third in a winner's bumper. He won on hurdling debut at Wexford over 3 miles, beating John Adams, form being franked since. Then came over the Cartmel in a 3-runner race at 1-10, won easy, and then came third last time out in a conditions race at Navan. Tully Begg and Edison Kent were in front of him that day. That looks good form, especially Tully Begg, who ended up beating Kewick and his favourite for the Pretemps qualifier on Saturday. Edison Kent could also run in that race as well. So it looks to be strong enough form. Streets of Doyen won this race for the exact same connections last year, and it just wouldn't surprise me if they try to win this race with him and then maybe put him away throughout the winter months, bring him back for a pipe opener before I go with the Albert Bartlett. When you've got a 50-1 ticket in your hand, you're allowed to take a swing at these sort of prices. And if he does go and win on Friday, like I hope he will, he certainly won't be any 51 shot by the end of it.
You make a compelling case. It's important to note that by the time that we're looking at these races, we do not have decks for either the Friday or the Saturday. In the 3:40 comes my first fancy of this Cheltenham Showcase meeting, and it's in the Novices Limited Handicap Chase over 2 miles, 3 furlongs and a half. And it's Chris Gordon's horse, Annual Invictus, rated 136. Tom Callan is set to take the ride. And I really like this horse. I thought he was a very quick improver last season, winning at Lingfield, Plumpton and Plumpton again in novice hurdles. Then he went to Newbury and finished fourth in the Betfair hurdle behind Soaring Glory, 50 Ball, Edward Stone and Buzz. The Cesarich winner was even back in fifth and made his chasing debut behind Favoir of Dan Skelton's at Utoxeter over 2 miles. And if honestly, go back, watch that race again. He's not a two-miler. He was a good jumper. He made a slight mistake at the first, but a good jumper other than that. He looked like he'd relish the step up and trip, and I think he is a better horse than 136. So I'm hoping he's somewhat of an each-way price and Annual Invictus can go close. Saturday, I've got one which I do quite like, a big price in the Potemps Network Handicap Hurdle, the qualifier. Good to see Tully Begg come over for Gordon Elliott. Plenty of Irish runners. Go another one for John McConnell. But the one that I like is right down at the bottom of the weights, not definitely bottom, but near the bottom of the weights, and it's Mr. Harp for trainer Thomas Gallagher. Now, he wouldn't have plenty of Cheltenham winners, but I think this horse could give him a very good chance of getting one on Saturday. Jack Quinnan is set to take the ride. The horse will be running off 10 stone and 5. He's 16-1. I'm going to be backing him each way. And the reason is because he won a handicap hurdle at Utoxeter over 3 miles on heavy ground. I do think the key to this horse is juice in the ground. So I'm hoping the forecasted rain between now and Saturday will make it a bit of a test. He finished second behind Imperial Alcazar in the Potemps Network Handicap Hurdle Qualifier at Warwick last year. Come on, Teddy was in behind, to be fair, Capage. And he ran very well that day. And then he was stepped up in class and ran in the Prestige Novices Hurdle, the Grade 2, behind Alaphilippe at Haydock. Finished second, beaten 14 lengths, beaten a long way, but still a good run. He's going to have to win to get in a Potemps. He's going to have to win well. I think they wouldn't be persisting if they didn't think they had a good horse here. And at 16-1, I'm willing to take that chance. You know he stays 3 miles. He's going to be at the bottom of the weight. I'm hoping the ground comes round. Do you have one on the Saturday that you quite fancy? And what do you think of Mr. Harp?
Yeah, well, it's one of your more out there picks, I must confess. But I'm glad you haven't gone down the dreary path of, you know, Dan Skelton cliff horses like one usually can do on these Let's Talk Racing podcasts. So the fact that you've actually gone for a Thomas Gallagher trained horse, usually the more obscure your selections are, the better they are, I find. So I think he's potentially got a very good chance. He's made a very compelling case as well. I might even back it myself. I've got two for Saturday myself. The 3:30, I just think you can get on Bet365, 12-1, and William Hill and other bookmakers, you can get 10-1 on Fanny and Destruval, which I just think is just too big a price. I know he's near enough the top of the weights. You look at his two races when being completely fresh in England. First of all, when he came to Venetia Williams to start off, he won at Newbury by 6.5 lengths, beating Sully Dock. And then last year, he was second to Magic Saint over course and distance at the November meeting off a large mark as well. He seems to like Cheltenham over 2 miles. He's one of these horses. He is obviously one of these typical French chaser types that he kind of jumps actually very nicely, but he sometimes can clip the top bar, as he did a couple of starts back at Cheltenham when tipping up behind Mr. Fisher when he wasn't without a chance. I just think at 12-1, 10-1, that's too big a price, and I think that mark and that price will actually be resurrected by the time of the off, so it's something to bear in mind. And also in the Potemps qualifier, I'm so keen on this Bardenstown lad, it'd be remiss of me not to be quite keen on Edison Kent. I'd be willing to take on Tully Begg off a mark of 140 personally. I don't think they'd be that'd be at the top of their minds to go and win on Saturday in that race. As for Edison, Kent's running off 127. Jesse Harrington likes having runners in the pretemps and likes winning these pretemps qualifiers as well. And you'd have to think this horse will have to go pretty close to try and boost this horse up the ratings to try and get him into that race come March time. So Edison Kent certainly won to look the right side of, I think he won a maiden hurdle this summer. He's then obviously finished second, splitting Tully Beg and Bardenstown Lad at Navan last time round. That looks pretty good form in the context of this race. I think you can get 14 to 1 readily available, and he'd be an each way play for myself.
Hopefully a few, a big price that can run well at the Cheltenham Showcase meeting. There's a few youngsters that are exciting at the meeting. Scatman, Halo de Zobo, Go Dante, Stage Star. I like to move it. Zanahir could run in the Holdings Hurdle on Saturday. I want to get your opinion on this. We're going to presume that Zanahir is running. I know that he's probably most likely going to run in the WKD Hurdle the following Friday. But if he does run here, is he the one to beat?
Oh, massively so. Yeah, I think he's a step above these. Zanahir, I think he's a cracking horse, and a horse that I think has gone, I wouldn't say gone under the radar, but I think people have been very quick to kind of throw mud on him after losing out in the Triumph Hurdle and then coming second at Punchestown. But I thought the run at Punchestown was more like it. It'd be interesting to see whether he needs to be stepped up in trip this year. Maybe 2.5 miles might seem to slightly better effect, but I think he'll have a pretty productive season, and I think if he was to come over to this race on Saturday, he'd win pretty cozy, because I don't see what's going to beat him, personally speaking. I'm a massive fan of Stepney Causeway myself for the Skeltons, but he just looks like the type of horse that would be much more suited by a flatter track, the way his running style is. He has real all mankind vibes about him, so it'd be interesting to see whether he takes his place and how he can go at the track. But yeah, no, I suspect if Zanahir comes over, he'd be a pretty warm order to get the job done.
I suspect that he'd be a short price favourite to win, and you would expect him to win. If he wasn't to come over, I would be all over. I like to move it. The only solid horse in the race, Tritonic, was disappointing in the Triumph, and two lacklustre runs on the flat since. And like you say, Stephanie Causeway, quite loopy. So I like to move it. Made a winning impression last time out, race fit, and I think that he could go close if Zanahir didn't turn up. Other exciting youngsters entered over the next few days. Ibarik de Soy in the 120 at Galway on Saturday. I keep banging on about this horse. Tune into Racing TV at 120 on Galway and you will see why. Manella Croon has entered in the bumper at Cheltenham. Jumping Jet, a winner of a 29 length victory in a bumper last year. She's since transferred from Barry Fitzgerald to Gordon Elliott. She's now owned by Rob Core, the owners of Bob Olinger. And she looks very exciting. She's entered in the 110, worth a watch. I suppose one that we have to touch on, Andrew, Gilly Billy, 235 Wexford on Sunday. He's a £400,000 purchase. He comes off that beautiful line of Cheveley Park National Hunt horses, and they never seem to miss a beat with these horses. They all seem to turn out very, very well. He's since moved to Henry de Bromhead's. You must be excited, and I'm very excited to see this horse out.
Yeah, it'd be fascinating to see him out. It's interesting that they've picked Wexford as potentially the place to start off his career. Wouldn't be known for that many horses starting their 2 mile novice campaign there, but it's potentially a nice enough starting point for him, a local enough track for trainer Henry de Bromhead. And this horse comes with a massive reputation. And as you say, in comparison to maybe some other owners around, the Cheveley Park horses seem to always live up to these reputations, certainly to start off their career. They seem to go in bumpers and novice hurdles, and certainly you can live the dream through them. So you'd have to think he'll end up getting the job done if he does go at Wexford. I suspect there won't be too many people queuing up to take him on in the Irish training ranks, to be honest. So he might go off a very short price. So maybe not a punting proposition, but certainly one to watch very closely for further clues down the line.
And then another subject that I do want to get your opinion on, Andrew, is Patrick Mullins has come out in the week and said that Galopin Deschamps is almost certain to go down the Dom Poli route and be aimed at the RSA, or the old RSA, I think it's now called the Brown Advisory. And Fernie Hollow is to go chasing. Obviously, we know that Appreciate It won the Supreme Novices Hurdle by 20 lengths plus. And he looks a big strapping chaser. With Fernie Hollow also going chasing, could you see Fernie Hollow going to the Arkle and appreciate it maybe stepping up in trip and taking on Bob Odinger in the Marsh.
Yeah, well, that's a fascinating prospect. Even thinking about it would get the mouth watering, really. It's going to be fascinating to see how they campaign these two horses. Obviously, they came, they went through a bumper season, not having to take each other on until Cheltenham, and that, I suppose, potentially could happen again. With the likes of Fernie Hollow, you just want to see him back out on track, really, and see who is the engine still well and truly there. Obviously, having had such a big injury early on in his career, can't help the horse, but I can see why they're going down the novice chase route, because if he did go hurdling, he would have to step up pretty much automatically into grade two, grade one company. And that's very difficult for a horse that's just had one run over hurdles, despite beating Bob Olinger, which is obviously excellent form in the book now that we look at it. It's going to be a fascinating prospect. I think Appreciated's got a lot more speed than people keep banging on about, so I'd be very, very shocked if he doesn't rock up in the Arkle come March. But the whereabouts of Fernie Hollow is potentially the fly in the ointment on this occasion.
I was quite looking forward to him hopefully staying hurdling and being that dark horse to potentially take on Honeysuckle. He looks the only standout candidate that could step up to her level. So a bit of a shame that he is going chasing, but also a mouth-watering prospect over fences. Finally, we're obviously at the start of October. This might seem like a masterstroke come March, but I wanted to get one horse that you've got an eye on. You don't have to back the horse, just one horse that you've got an eye on for a Cheltenham Festival handicap.
Yeah, well, I know you were throwing me under the bus with this question earlier, because I knew immediately you sent me this question that you had something lined up, so you've absolutely sold me one here. You've got to look down the Irish route, one thinks, at this stage, just the way the handicaps have gone in recent years, and Gordon Elliott's no better man to produce these horses. Just two that I would just keep the right side of. I don't know whether the first one will end up being too good for handicaps, but he seems to like a horse called Mighty Potter an awful lot. He won a bumper last year, back in March time. He won by a five or so lengths. They seem to really, really like him there. I don't know whether he's going to quite transpire into being that grade one novice herder, and if he doesn't, will they end up trying to somehow float him into a Martin Pipe? I'm not so sure. He's something to look after, and one that certainly will win a handicap hurdle this year, whether it's at Cheltenham or whether it's somewhere like the big Pierce hurdle at Leopardstown, or one of the big races at Ferryhouse or Punchestown come the end of the year, is Eski Lane, who came fifth in the bumper a couple of years ago. But G's got a very eye-catching ride at Listowel a few weeks ago, went fourth behind Dysart Diamond in a big, valuable handicap that day. I think that was a bit of a pipe opener, and he's still got off a mark of 133, and he will go in a big handicap hurdle this year. And he's certainly one to look out for if he was to rock up in a county hurdle, potentially. He might be one that could have a few of my pennies on him.
You have ABW's word there. Right, I think I've unearthed one. JP McManus, Gordon Elliott, the perfect team for a Cheltenham handicap. This horse beat Smurfy Enke in a point-to-point by 12 lengths, now rated 135 for Chris Gordon. Clearly very smart. On his opening bumper, he went off favourite when beaten 10 lengths by Bob Olinger. And I know the team at Gordon's thought a heck of a lot of this horse. He then went to finish second in a maiden hurdle over 2.5 miles. He then fell at Punchestown. He then finished second again in a maiden hurdle at Navan before finally getting off the mark at a maiden hurdle at Navan again on the 13th of March, in and amongst that Cheltenham ruckus, beating Al Barra, who was 4 lengths behind. He's then won twice since, once at Fairy House and once in a handicap at the Punchestown Festival. He's rated 135. This horse is rated 130. I think, based on that Al Barra maiden hurdle alone, this horse is a 140 plus horse. He's rated 130, and he goes by the name of Coccolino, Coqolino. And if you look at his form, he's lightly raced. He's a 6-year-old. If he was to stay hurdling, they must be looking at the county hurdler of Martin Pipe with this horse. You'd like to think that the English handicapper wouldn't put him up too much, maybe 4 or 5 pounds. So he'd probably be 134, 135. All he's got to do is run well against a smart horse once, or even win a relatively weak contest. And he could go up 3 or 4 pounds, maybe an English mark of 138, 139, and he'd sneak in low in the weights in those races at Cheltenham. Coccolino, I think he's got plenty of ability, and 130 is definitely lenient. So there is one to keep a keen eye out on if he was to stay hurdling this season. That's Coccolino, trained by Gordon Elliott, owned by JP McManus, and is rated just 130.
Well, you've sold me the dream there. Now, you've sold me the dream with many a skeleton horse in the past as well, so I have to just be a little bit dubious at times, but no, I do agree. I think he's got a very nice profile for one of those handicaps, and just the one worry I'd have is, are they going to send this horse over a fence? But as long as they don't, I think you could be well barking up one of the right trees there.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. Thank you very much for joining me, Andrew. It's been a pleasure as always. And please do go and watch the Let's Talk Racing YouTube video. We're going to have a video out tomorrow, which is going to be a Cheltenham showcase meeting preview, as well as our Cheltenham Festival October update. And we've got the addition of race replays. So a big upgrade on the quality of content. I really do hope you enjoyed this podcast, and we'll see you next week.